Well, thank you very much to the organizers for inviting me to this, and glad of your interest in the smart grid. I'm from the National Institute of Standards and Technology in the United States, and I want to talk about some of the aspects of the smart grid from an organizational sense. There are a lot of different pieces that need to be put in place for the smart grid to work. We just heard some about some of the economic considerations of it, but this is a huge working infrastructure. And as such, it has many different components and pieces, and I'm going to describe some parts of the standards and the measurements to support the smart grid. So in general, we've already heard some introduction towards the economics of the smart grid. More generally, the smart grid is a modernization of the electric grid. And what we're doing is putting in advanced communications into this traditional infrastructure in order to enable some of these benefits, some of which were described in the previous talk. More generally, we're looking for a two-way flow of electricity and information within a more resilient system. Part of this is that since it is such a large system, involves so many different players, all of the different parts of the system need to know what the communication protocols are, what the schemes are, the economic schemes, the expected behaviors within this very large system. As such, standards, and when I'm pointing to standards here, I'm talking about documentary standards, form a strong core of what is needed for the smart grid. So this is a brief introduction. I'm going to focus most of my talk on accelerating smart grid standards and then get to some of the measurements that we're doing to support the smart grid. Here are a few things about the North American grid. In essence, I don't want to go into detail here, but the important part is that it's a very complicated system. And it's not just complicated from a technology point of view, it's also complicated from a political and regulatory point of view. There are many different electric utilities. Some are investor-owned utilities. Some are rural cooperatives. So there is a whole host of sizes, scales, capabilities within the system. There in the U.S., there's many different states. Worldwide, there are many different regulatory agencies that govern electricity generation use. The other thing to point out from an economics, to follow on the economics point of view, is that we have a very large capital-intensive industry where there is investment in generating capacity and transmission that is scaled to meet the peak demands. So basically, you are paying for a lot of infrastructure all the time, even when the load on the system is much lower. We can be more efficient and ideally drive some price benefits if we're able to operate closer to those margins. With the need to move to renewable energy, we're going to need to have a system that's able to respond quicker when wind turns on and off, when solar's available and it's not. All of these things will let us work closer to that peak capacity and hopefully do it in such a way that we'll be able to reap the benefits without having to do a whole extra load of investment. On the other hand, the entire system needs modernization. So this is a system that is going to have investment anyways. So there's a huge, you know, trillions of dollars worth of investment that's needed both in the U.S. and the world. In the U.S., the smart grid is a U.S. national priority. We have the support of all of the upper-level politicians, and also the U.S. energy policy starts from the Energy Independence and Security Act, which gave NIST, my institution, a key role. I've already talked a lot about some of the drivers. I'm going to skip this as well as this. This just kind of shows the level of variability of wind. This is what we have to be able to have the communications in place to help mitigate. We also, the previous speaker had mentioned electric vehicles. Electric vehicles can both be a positive or a negative. They're potentially good for the environment. However, if people come home and at the end of the day, all choose to charge their electric vehicles at the same time, this would actually add to the peak demand and make things worse. If through communications we can get people to charge in the middle of the night, then it averages out the overall load and makes things better. So this points out why communications is so important. Without communications, you'll probably end up with this. with communications and control of the charging, you'll have a much better state. To give you an example of the complexity of standards, just looking at the electric vehicle application, these are some of the standards that are needed for an end-to-end interoperability solution with electric vehicles. So you have everything from the details of the standards that govern the electric vehicles, the details of the standards that govern how the utilities organize their space. Standards in the U.S. For metering are slightly different than Europe, which relies on IEC standards. There's also safety applications to work about, and then there's communications. So there's a whole host of various standards that need to work together. And that's the hard part here, is that all of these standards organizations have traditionally worked around their own little part of the problem. The trick is to get them to coordinate and work across the boundaries with each other to create the end-to-end applications. That's where we come in. We're the National Institute of Standards and Technology, so we are a non-regulatory agency in the United States Department of Commerce. We work quite closely with industry, academia, and government. And in this particular case, we have a role both for the standards as well as the measurements to support the smart grid. Standards are a key aspect of the U.S. policy. This particular act is what gives the instructions to the U.S. government to look to the private sector first for how we set standards. So this is an aspect where we're different than the European way of doing things as well as others around the world. We rely much more on the private sector and a whole host of standards development organizations instead of pushing things through mandates to the standards organizations. It also directs the federal government to participate in the possibilities and the technical committees. For example, over 400 of the staff at my institution are involved at technical committees working on standards of one sort or another. In addition, it directs my institution to coordinate the federal government's use of standards. So the federal government can be a driver for these standards. We're to look to the private sector first. And that is exactly what was called out in a much more visible role within this Energy Independence and Security Act, which is kind of the underlying smart grid policy for the United States. It gave us the role of coordinating the development of a framework to achieve interoperability of smart grid systems and devices. So in essence, that's our charge. Coordinate development means that we're not working in a vacuum, we're working with others. Framework means that we have to imagine how this whole system is going to work together and look at all the different parts to it. And we also need to make sure that these standards are flexible, uniform, and technology neutral. If you look at the investment that's made in the smart grid, it's pretty substantial. Recently, the Department of Energy put in $3.4 billion, as well as this was matched by industry in this process. So it's a rather large investment in smart grid across the U.S. Similar investments are being made across the world. If you look at the United States' roles in smart grid, we're here, we're working on the standards piece of it. The lead agency in the U.S. is the Department of Energy. But similar to most, agencies around the world, there are a whole host of players. Everyone from the communication side, the regulators, standards, Department of Energy, all have to work together. And in addition, you have regulation that occurs at the state level. In fact, most of the important regulation for the details of the distribution system occur at the state level. So all of these folks need to work well together and coordinate. What we did when we received this responsibility was that we set up a rather large effort to help to organize the community. The important part here was that we had a traditional industry, the power industry, which hadn't yet interacted as much as it should have with the IT folks, with the communications folks, with all of the other parts of the smart grid. And it was our ability to, in essence, act as a convener and have a series of workshops and get all of the different standards development organizations and different engineers and scientists interested in this problem all together to talk through what the needs were and to help develop an initial roadmap for where we needed to go. In addition, we realized that NIST doing a lot of the heavy lifting at this first stage wasn't going to be sufficient. We really needed a process that would carry on forward in a more consistent way over time. So we set up a smart grid interoperability panel, which consists of over 650 organizations that have a role to play in the smart grid. And we also realized that standards alone weren't sufficient. You also needed, in the end, to have testing and certification to be able to ensure that the products that were coming out will eventually meet what the stated performance is. Our initial push developed this roadmap and framework. I'll make a note here. This particular website, all of the stuff that we've done is in the public domain, and it's available for anyone's use. So this gets you access not only to everything that NIST has done, but also the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel. And all of this is available for use by IEEE and others, and various parts of the community have picked up the framework and its elements and are further developing things. So we set out a Smart Grid vision and model. We identify key standards. It wasn't enough to figure out what the standards were. It was also important to figure out where the problems were and then make progress to meet those needs. So we put together priority action plans, which were targeted efforts often involving more than one standards development organization to solve a standards gap. In addition, cybersecurity was exceptionally important throughout this whole process. We've had a whole working group on it, which has developed guidelines. And we're currently working on a revision to this framework. So this is the framework that you'll see if you go to the website. There's also this work in a release 2 revision, which is also available for people to look at within the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel. From an upper level point of view, this kind of describes the entire smart grid. You have the traditional power system that needs to have communications, which are shown in blue, with all of these different actors. So this kind of helped to set the who needs to talk with whom, and then from those communications you can figure out what are the protocols that are needed to support smart grid communications. Here's a listing of all of the priority action plans that we have to target specific needs. I should point out that we're relying on international standards for this. In essence, the entire world is moving to smart grids, and the various companies want to sell into a global market. Relying on international standards helps that globalization and supports the ability of all of the different regions of the world to develop their smart grids. Here's a little bit more about the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel. The important part here to notice is that we're doing a lot of requirements and working with the standards development organization. So the actual standards are developed in the standards development organization, such as IEEE and IEC and others. We're helping to organize what goes into that and target them and try to accelerate progress. We also do a lot with web-based participation so that we can get worldwide participation. We do a lot through teleconferences and web meetings. This is an international group. We have a large international participation from various countries around the world, such as Japan, Korea, State Grid from China, all of the standards development organizations. So we have a very strong international component to this effort. Here are some of the stakeholder categories. So this is how we've organized this particular entity. And this kind of points out what I was saying, all of the different types of entities that have a role to play in the smart grid, we're providing a forum for them all to get together and discuss the hard issues. Here's the organization. It's a structured group that has both standing committees as well as particular priority action teams. It has domain expert working groups, and it has some functions to help improve its operations. Pretty importantly, there's a governing board that is elected from these different categories that helps oversee the entire process of the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel. So this is where a lot of the decisions are made. Here are some of the key committees. Here are some of the efforts that we've had that have been confirmed completed by the governing board, so have made great progress over the last couple years. Here's one in particular, energy usage information. So if you look at issues that are facing the consumer wants to have more information about their energy use and then be able to use that energy use to change their behavior. We needed to put in place some rough structures on the energy usage to try to have consistency across the system. There's a lot of different applications that will use energy usage information, and this helps to develop a standard, which is already done now within the North American Energy Standards Board, which set the data model for this nugget of energy information that can then be used by all of the other groups to have consistency. I mentioned international coordination. Here's some of the government-to-government interactions that are going on, as well as the various works with the standards development organizations. Since this is an IEEE group, I should point out that we have a strong connection with the P2030 effort. There's also the International Smart Grid Action Network, ISGAN, which is a strong international push to help to accelerate the development and deployment of electric grids, smart grids. And then to kind of finish up, I'm just going to whiz through very quickly some technical capabilities on the measurement side, just to give you a taste of the kinds of things that we're able to do from a technology point of view. So if you look at this domain diagram, here are all the different places that we have efforts on research. I'm going to focus in on just a couple. We're going to hear a little bit later about phasor measurement units. One of the things that NIST has done is put together a calibration service for these units. So basically, these give you a snapshot of the grid, the state of the grid. It's kind of like an EKG for the grid. By working on both the standards as well as test beds, we're able to put together a testing program to support the deployment of these units. And we're working very closely with the various standards organizations to improve them. In addition, we do a lot with building automation and control. And for example, one of the things that we're doing right now is developing a net zero energy residence, and some of the action will be in looking at the communications between the grid and buildings, looking at ways to improve that. More generally, there's a need for data management. This is where this community can come in and help with. There's all sorts of things that we need with real-time data. Here are just a few of the new computational applications we're going to see: forecasting load, variable generation, a lot more situational awareness and data management. There's going to be a lot of data involved. And then also eventually getting to the point of control. So with that, I'll conclude. Here's my contact information if you'd like to ask any further questions. And perhaps we have a time for a question.
Some questions?
So thank you for the presentation. So I think one of the aspects that this community can really contribute to is we are accustomed to convert things from the physical analog world into digital things, right, that go into these communication pipes and make them efficient, more usable for algorithms, for optimization, tracking, estimation, and statistics. With all these efforts in standardizing, this is a heavily regulated area. Do you think there is a lot of space for innovation, or do you think that this will essentially standardize even prior to people thinking about this problem in more?
I think there's room for innovation, particularly in the part that faces the consumer. So the parts dealing with demand response and things that the consumer is going to need kind of summarized and understood to see how they can then act on the information. There's also a fair amount that goes on within the utility space. There's lots of parts that have to communicate with each other. However, most of that, as you point out, there's this regulatory aspect that sometimes it feels like you're walking through molasses, but the trick is to simplify things and do all the technical detail stuff underneath, but you have to simplify it in layers and layers, because in the end, you're talking with regulators that don't understand very much of the technical details. And so to make progress on the parts that impact regulation really takes a different skill set. So in essence, we need the work of the technology developers, but then we also need the ability to interact with the regulators. Okay, does the smart grid need smart customers? Yes and no. If we're going to rely on smart customers, we're going to wait for a long time. However, what we can do is get the customers the tools that they need to basically set their preferences and then let automated systems then respond to this environment. So in essence, we're going to need smart consumers who are able to buy the VCRs, but we need those VCRs to automatically program themselves so they're not flashing with the date thing. Of course, we're with DVRs now, but so in essence, there needs to be a lot to make it simple for the consumers.
Thank you, David.